You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
And tonight we are in week two of our new series. We're studying the book of James, and we've called this series A Faith That Works. And I think tonight you're going to start to see why we called it that. Now, last week, to remind us, and if you missed it, we talked about having joy in trials because God can use our suffering to produce perseverance in our faith. Now, James continues this idea as we open the word up. James chapter 1, find me in verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. James is telling these Christians who are undergoing suffering, he's telling them in this letter that what's promised at the end of finding joy in our trials, what's found at the end of a persevering faith, is the crown of life that's given to us by God, made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God himself. And so, students, right now, if you are in a trial, maybe you were here last week and you thought about an area of your life where things just aren't going right. You feel like you're suffering and you're hurting. Or maybe you missed last Wednesday and you're going to catch up on our podcast. Maybe right now, something's coming to mind. There's a burden. There's some sort of trial. And if you are going through a trial right now, HSM family, our encouragement to you is to keep trusting God. We know that it's so hard, but keep showing up here with brothers and sisters who love him and can encourage you. Keep asking your life group to support you. Keep praying, keep reading your Bible, keep hoping that God is up to something even greater than your understanding. As James tells us in verse 12, keep living a life that reflects your love of God. Because James says it will be so worth it as we experience his presence with us no matter what we face, and when we receive the crown of life from him, everlasting life with God. And then James kind of shifts the topic, and you will find as we study his letter, he'll do that often. And James is about to bring the heat. I'm just warning you. James is about to get real serious, and he does not sugarcoat anything. And so, inspired by the verses that we're studying tonight, our sermon title tonight is Don't Be a Hypocrite. And that might kind of like, I don't know, make you feel a little uncomfortable. A person who is hypocritical is somebody who claims to believe certain things, but their actions don't align with their beliefs. Someone who's hypocritical might even pretend to have certain morals or values that they don't actually have. And as we all know, I don't even have to tell you, like, being around someone who's hypocritical can be really discouraging. It could be really frustrating. And I don't think a lot of people want to be a hypocrite. It just kind of happens subtly without us noticing, and James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he's writing this word to us, he's like giving Christians a truth slap. Like, he is helping Christians, warning them against the very real threat of becoming a Christian who is hypocritical. And this is what he says, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Sin is any thought, word, or action that is disobedient to God and his word. Some examples of sin are lying, gossiping, having sex with someone or lusting after someone who is not your husband or wife. Sin can look like choosing not to forgive someone. Sin can be trusting what other people think about you, valuing what other people think about you or your performance in your sports or your theater, or your clubs, overvaluing what God says. And what James gives us here is an outline of where this sin comes from. James emphasizes that sin does not start with God. It never starts with God. Sin always starts with us. We have evil desires. Sin has broken everything since it first entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. And so even the things that we desire don't always align with what God desires. And so James outlines that our evil desires can lead to temptation to sin instead of obeying God. Then we choose to sin, and that leads to death. If you can think of a scale, if any of you are like in chemistry or physics, I was really bad at science, so I don't know, you guys can correct me later. But if you think about a scale, when our desires to do our own thing, to do things our own way, outweigh our desires to please God, that's usually when we choose to sin. And James gives this intense picture that when we give in to sin, we are dragged away by our own evil desires. And once we sin, it grows into death. Now, as you can see in this chart that we have up here, death in the Bible usually means two things. It does refer to physical death. Sin entering this world has led all of us who are alive to face death. Like our bodies are even broken. We will all, one day, our bodies are gonna like poop out. Like we will lose our life in the physical bodies that we have now. But when the Bible talks about death, it also talks about a spiritual death. And a spiritual death is something that we can experience after our physical body dies, but we can also experience the effects of physical death even in this life, of spiritual death, I'm sorry. The spiritual death that the Bible talks about is the kind that separates us from God. Sin has created this chasm between us, an imperfect us, and a holy God. And without the forgiveness of God, we're separated from him. That's the consequence of our sin. And that's why when James in verse 12 said, receiving the crown of life is promised to those who love God, it was so significant because God is offering eternal life to the people who love him. That when we live as a reflection of our love of God, that we are united with Christ. And we don't have to experience any of this death only because of God's goodness. We are no longer separated from him. And so James is saying to these Christians, these early Christians, don't be a hypocrite and say that God is tempting you to sin. Instead, recognize that sin comes from our own evil desires. Take ownership of it. Take responsibility. And whenever we face temptation, that doesn't mean that automatically we've done something wrong. But temptation always presents us with a choice. Turn to God or choose to sin. James tells us that one way our lives can reflect our faith, one way that we can avoid being a hypocritical Christian, is to recognize where temptation truly comes from and turn to God in order to resist it. Because sin, as we saw James outline, it brings death. But goodness always comes from God every time. Verse 17, James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Think about in your life, anything good that you've ever experienced, we do because of God's own goodness. God is our Heavenly Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And because He does not change, God is the perfect one for us to turn to when we need help to resist temptation and sin. And what I love is like how that turns into such a relationship. Like in order for us to obey and please God, we need God's help. And James calls God our Father, our Heavenly Father. God wants a relationship with us. He wants Christians, Christ followers, to be His sons and daughters. And in order to resist sin, we have to turn to our Father for help. It's a beautiful relationship that God wants to have with us. And when we turn to God, that's the only way that we can resist temptation and sin. And one way that we can turn to God whenever we face temptation, and even before we face it, James tells us in verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Those are more examples of sin. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." One of the tools, one of the weapons that God equips His followers with is His word. If you ever wonder, like, why isn't God speaking to me? If your Bible is closed, you're not reading the letter that He wrote to you and for you. And James is saying, if you can humbly accept God's word, if you can receive it, then that can help transform you. That can help you resist temptation and sin, and it can save us from our sin. And James goes on to say, well, how do we accept God's word into our hearts? James says, verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." James instructs us to do this. Listen to God's word and obey it. You have to do both. I really think, as James is so strongly talking about here, personally, I feel like some of the most dangerous threats to God's kingdom and His purposes are not atheists. I think some of the biggest threats to God's kingdom are not people who hate Christians. But I think one of the biggest threats to God's kingdom are Christians who go to church and hear God's word and listen to it, but none of their actions actually reflect Christ. Now again, if you missed last week, this has got to be clear. We cannot earn our salvation from God. That chasm caused by sin is not something that we can do enough good things in order to win God's forgiveness. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God has graciously and freely given us His gift of grace, and we receive it through our faith. But James is saying our faith is made alive. It's shown through our actions and lives. And James is saying it would be so ridiculous if someone looked in the mirror, you know, staring at it for 10 minutes doing your makeup, and then you walk away and you forget what you look like. I know a lot of us in this room, you know, maybe spend 15 minutes trying to get the perfect selfie, if we're honest. And it would be like you're spending all that time looking at yourself and you walk away and you don't remember what you look like. James is saying that is ridiculous. And in the same way, it's ridiculous to hear God's word, think that you believe it, but not do what it says. And what I love is that James is saying he calls God's word the perfect law. Did you catch that verse? It's a perfect law, and when we follow it, when we embrace it and live it out, it actually brings us freedom. And so many people in our world, in our lives. So many of you students, you're looking for freedom, and you're looking for it everywhere. You're looking to be accepted and to like not carry around these heavy weights of life, the trials and the struggles. And we turn to different things hoping that they'll give us freedom. Lots of people today, and I'm talking about myself too, we turn to our identities. We turn to who I'm attracted to. That will bring me freedom. How good I am at my sport or in my choir, that will give me freedom. Who my friends are, that will give me freedom. But all of these things will leave us bound and trapped by brokenness and sin still, because we can only experience true freedom, what we're truly looking for, in Christ. And James is saying, if you want to accept God's word, you got to know it. You have to read it and you have to live it out. And so my application for all of us tonight is we are starting another YouVersion Bible reading plan as an HSM family. So this is your 1 minute where you can pull out your phone, join our reading plan for the next 21 days. We together are going to go through the book of James, and it's so fun. The last time we did this several months ago, we get to comment on each day. And so I'm excited to keep diving into God's word together, even outside of Wednesdays and Sundays. And as we do this, as we like place ourselves intentionally at the feet of Jesus, opening up his word every single day, I want to encourage us, HSM, that's good. My application point, as you probably know, is the same that it's been for the last year and a half. I've been encouraging us as an HSM family, if you can do one thing, if you can develop one discipline in your high school years, it's read your Bible every day. Grow that discipline. But as we do it, we're going to celebrate that, but we can't just read it. We have to apply it. Our faith has to work. And James, he just like won't let this idea go. James chapter 2, verse 14. James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." You know, in your math classes, when you have homework or you're taking a test, and what does your teacher always say? Show your work. I think James is saying, Christians, show your work. Your faith has to have substance. You can't just say you believe in Jesus, post one Bible verse on your story once a week, and have no other actions to back it up. And again, we're not earning God's grace by having our actions reflect his love. But see, that's the thing, is we looked at that progression of sin, starting with our own evil desires, but God shows us another way. James brings up, you'll see it up on screen, that if you want your faith to be alive, made possible through Jesus, that faith will lead to God changing our hearts and minds, and it's through him speaking through his word. And as we take in his word, that will lead through the changed heart and mind to actions that glorify God, that are made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that leads to everlasting life, which can begin now and lead into eternity. And this passage has been so helpful for me because I love verse 19. I love that James is like, the demons know that there's one true God. On Sundays, at Purpose, where our series is The War We're In, we're talking about spiritual warfare and how Satan and his demons are all about destroying God's creation and his plans. And James here is saying the demons know that God is the true God. They know that he is all powerful. But the reason why they're demonic is because they know it, but they don't obey God. And James is warning that we can fall into the same trap. We can think that we know Jesus is worth everything. We can believe in him, but have no actions, obedience, or surrender to show it. And so HSN, if you want a faith that's alive, your actions should reveal Christ to others. No matter what you say you believe or think you believe, if your actions are pointing to yourself and your status, if they're pointing toward hatred or division or gossip, if they're pointing towards a celebrity, if your actions are pointing to social media or a political party, if your actions don't ultimately point other people to Christ, it might be that your faith is dead and is in need of God's resurrection power. And maybe you've heard this idea that Christians are supposed to represent Christ wherever they go. And there are a lot of people who won't ever open a Bible or go to church, and so your interactions with them are the only Bible that this person will ever experience. And so I think that's an interesting question. If a stranger only saw your actions, would they know that you are a Christian? And if you're starting to feel like, oh man, if you're like me and you're starting to feel like, oh man, there are areas in my life where my actions are not reflecting Christ, where I say I believe in one thing, but I don't, my faith isn't working, it's not putting in the work, it's not showing Christ. Well, James was so practical in the examples that he provided of a faith that's alive. In chapter 2, he said, if someone has physical needs, don't just encourage them, clothe and feed them. We talked about earlier, Serve Saturday is coming up in just a few Saturdays. And all of junior high and high school ministries are coming together. We are clothing, feeding those in need in our community. You don't even have to sign up, just show up. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. Serve. If someone is going through something hard in their life, one of your friends, bring them Starbucks, surprise them one day. Call them out of the blue just to check up on them. Ask God for help, for boldness, to ask people how you can pray for them and then actually pray for them that week and follow up with them. Talk to the person in your class or on your team that nobody else talks to. This is how we can have a faith that's alive, is letting God change us and empower us to live in a way that reflects Christ to the whole world. And at this time, as our worship team comes back up, I feel like God has spoken so powerfully through his word tonight. And I believe that the Holy Spirit right now is bringing to mind areas in our lives where we might be a little hypocritical, where our actions are not quite aligning with what we say we believe. And so what we're gonna do right now is we are going to enter into a time of confession. And confessing our sins is something that the book of James will command us to do later. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession is a practice, a tool through which God can bring forth healing. And to confess just means this. It means to agree. That's why sometimes we say, like, we confess our faith in Christ. It means we believe, we agree that Jesus is Lord. And when we confess our sin, when we recognize it and we bring it to God, we're simply just agreeing that our actions disobeyed God, that we sinned. We agree that we need a Savior. We agree to accept God's forgiveness through Christ. And we agree to let God help us heal and change. And so what we're gonna do right now is just one way that we could practice confession. All of you on your seats had a second sheet of paper. You saw it looks like a letter. And one of my friends recently told me that when she's struggling knowing how to pray for God, she writes him a letter. And so each of us tonight are gonna write a letter to God. There's a side if you are following Jesus, and if you're still exploring who he is, there's a different side for you that I think will still be helpful. In the next few minutes, use the side that applies to you. And I want you to use this time as we get one more song led by Mariah and our team. They're gonna lead us in a song of reflection that will give us space to use the prompts that are on that letter and write out a letter to God. and in particular, share about any ways, yeah, that you feel like you've fallen short, that your actions, again, are not aligning with what you believe in your words. And so for the next few minutes, take this time, you and the Lord. Our worship team is gonna lead us in this reflection as you write your letters. You're not gonna share this with anyone. Nobody's gonna ask you to read your letter when you get to life groups. So take this time seriously, and let's go to the Lord.